Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, the two dots. Just to review what we left off with yesterday, the Gemara says there, Amar Reish Lakish HaChoshed B'Ksherim, someone who improperly suspects, someone who is kasher, that is totally fine, and is going to do or carry out whatever we suggest, but this person suspects that they won't, then Lokeh B'Gufo, he's punished by having something happen to his body. The example the Gemara brought was last week's Parsha, Parshat Shmot, where Moshe says that B'nai Yisrael will not believe him when he appears in Mitzrayim, and Hashem says, yes, they will believe you, and he was punished B'Gufo because his hand is stuck into his chest and it comes out, and it's Mitzorat Kashelik, it has Tzorat on his hand. So that was the Gemara's proof. One thing to note here, what does it mean to be choshed b'ksherim? To be choshed, to be suspicious sometimes, is a proper thing. Baba has to be careful. A person has to not just trust everybody. On the Mishnah in Avot, where it says, "Behavei dan et kol adam dekaf zchut," everybody has to always judge people favorably. Over there, the Rabbeinu Yonah explains that that's not for everybody, that there are different categories of individuals. When we say Havei Dan Etu Kol Adam, the Kaf Zchut breaks it down to three categories of individuals. He says someone who is a Rasha, someone who is known to be problematic or suspected to be problematic, over there, there's no problem of Havei Dan Etu Kol Adam, the Kaf Zchut. There you can be Dan Him, the Kaf Chova, because that's the type of behavior that he's engendered. That's the type of person that he is. And therefore you're under no obligation to assume that he's doing right when he's known to do wrong, or there's a lot of suspicion about him doing wrong. The other side is a tzaddik, someone who always does good, or most likely does good. Over there, not only do you have an obligation to be down the kaf zchut, you must be down the kaf zchut, and you have to figure out a way to answer whatever behavior that he has. You have to figure out a way to come up with an excuse or a reason why he did that. And even if you can't come up with that, you have to assume he did tshuva right away. The time that we say, habitan kol adam kaf zchut, is the benoni. The individual is in the middle. And that's where the Gemara demands that you do it, the Kaf Zchut, is that you give people the benefit of the doubt. So here, we have a Choshed B'Ksherim, again, is the assumption being that these are people who are otherwise trustworthy or seemingly trustworthy, and one should not be suspicious of these individuals under the same category of the Havidan et Goladam, the Kaf Zchut, that you have to give the benefit of the doubt to those individuals. Now, the Gemara continues with that story with Moshe Rabbeinu, where he pulls his hand out and has tzarat on it, and it says by the two dots, Amar Rava v'itim Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, midah tova memaheret lavo mi'midah paranut, that good things happen much faster than bad things. Dilu b'midah paranut, when it comes to bad things, by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, v'yotziah v'inei yado mitzorat kashalik, that when he pulls his hand out of his chest and he looks at it, he sees that it's full of tzarat. So there, until he removes it from his chest, it does not have the tzarat on it. On the other hand, v'ilu b'midat tova, when it's being removed, iktiv v'yotziah micheko v'inei shava kibsaro. Once he takes it out, on the second time that he's placed it in there, when he takes it out, v'inei shava kibsaro, it's already healed, it's already cured, and that's what the Gemara says here: micheko hu d'shava kibsaro. Already, before he's removed it from the chest, that it's already cured from the tzarat. So there we see the midat tova comes faster than the midah ra'ah. Then the Gemara just ends off with the one more pasuk from that series, which is in this week's parasha, Vayivla matei Aaron et matotam. When they come to demonstrate before Paro the otot, it says there that the matei, the staff of Aaron, ate up the staves of the kartumim. So Amar Rav Elazar, nes betoch nes. It was a miracle inside of a miracle. Number one is the snake or the serpent went back to being a staff. And then after it returned to being a staff, it ate up the other staffs that were there from the Khartoumim. So that's a miracle within a miracle. So now we're back to our Mishnah. Mishnah says that Mirshuta Yachid, Rishuta Yachid, and the Rishuta Rabbim Ba'emtza. So we spoke about this when we read the Mishnah, but what's the scenario in the Mishnah? Bai Rabo. Lamata Me'asara? Is it below 10 Tvachim Plige? Ubaha Plige? And this is what they argue about. One believes, that is, Rabbi Akiva believes, an object in motion is considered to have discrete movements, and therefore it's as if you lift it up and put down the object all along the way. Marsavar and the Chachamim believe, they believe that when an object is in motion, you look at the continuum, you don't look at it as discrete motions. Aval lemala mi'asara, if you're above 10 tvachim, divrei akol patur. Everybody agrees you're patur, because that's a makom patur. Velol yafinan zorek mimoshit. And we don't learn throwing from passing. Remember that Moshit was what they did in the Mishkan. That's what the Levim did. They passed from the Agalah to the Agalah, and that was above 10 Tfachim. On the other hand, the Zrika was not done because the boards were too heavy. The question is, can you extrapolate from passing to throwing? And here we say, according to everyone, you're Patur, and we don't learn Zorek Mimoshit. Oduma, the other possibility of explaining the Machloket in the Mishnah is, from Alami Asara, Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim argue about throwing above 10 Tfachim. Pligei u'baha pligei, and this is what they argue about. Mar Savar Yafin and Zorek Mimoshit, or Mar Savar Lo Yafin and Zorek Mimoshit. Rabbi Kiva believes that we learn out throwing from passing, and the Chachamim believe we don't learn throwing from passing. Aval Amata Miyud, below 10 Tfachim, if you threw it there, Divrei Akol Chayav. Everybody would give you Chayav, even the Chachamim. My time, what's the reason? Kloto Kamushun Chadamya. Because we look at something in motion as going through discrete points, not on a continuum. Amar Rav Yosef, ha milte ba'ile the Rav Chista. This question that was posed by Rava was also posed to Rav Chista. Vashta ni'ale Rav Amnuna. And Rav Amnuna answered it from this. Meha, Rishuti Yachid, the Rishuti Yachid, vover b'Rishut HaRabim Atzma. So it goes from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Yachid, and it passes through the Rishut HaBim itself. V'kiva mechayev v'chachamim pochrim. Very similar to our Mishnah, except we have that word, Atzma. V'kayda amar b'Rishut HaRabim Atzma, that it went through the Rishut HaRabim itself, pshita l'mata me'asara plige. That they're arguing below 10 Tfachim, because you can only be in the Rishut HaRabim when you're below 10 Tfachim. Above 10 Tfachim is a makom tour. Ubamai, what are they arguing about? Ilema b'ma avir. L'mata me'asara hu d'michayev l'mala me'yud lo michayev. So what are you going to suggest? This bright that we just quoted is talking about a situation in which someone is carrying the object below 10 Tfachim, implying that if you carried it above 10 Tfachim, you would not be chayav. However, Rabbi Lozar Hamutzi Masui l'mala me'asara chayav. Shekein masa b'nei kahat. We just saw this back on Tzadibet, that the b'nei kahat carried the aron or the mizbeach above 10 Tfachim. That is still considered to be problematic in terms of moving an object on Shabbat. So even if you carry it above 10 Tfachim, everybody would agree you're chayav. So that cannot be where the machloket is, and it cannot imply that above that point is patur. Elalav bizorek. It must be that we're talking about throwing an object. Ulama atam yasarahu demichayev. Below 10 Tfachim is where they have this chiyuv or this machloket. Ma'alam yasara, above 10 Tfachim, lo michayev. Nobody is michayev, meaning everybody agrees that you're patur above 10 Tfachim. Shma mina, from that you can conclude, bekluta kemashun chabligay. They're arguing in this principle of whether the object in motion is considered to be moving through discrete points or it's a continuum. Shma mina. So there we conclude. We discussed this already that in the Mishnah it does not sound like this because the Mishnah brings the machlok between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim and then afterwards says right away, Ketzad, what's the scenario? And then it gives us the scenario of the Leviim passing things above 10 Tfachim. Makes it sound like machlok between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim is above 10 Tfachim there. We noted that Tosafot says in the Yerushalmi, person who thinks that the machloket is below 10 Tfachim has to eliminate the word Ketzad in the Mishnah in order for it to make sense. That is what we said in the Shita of Rab over here, that the conclusion is that they're arguing about Puto Kamish Un Chadamya. Now the Gemara says, on this conclusion, Upliga de Rabbi Lozer. This argues on Rabbi Lozer, Dama Rabbi Lozer, Mechayev Haya Rabbi Akiva, Afilu L'malam Yud. Rabbi Akiva is not only Mechayev below Yud, but even above Yud. So then why in the bright does it say that it's in the Rishut HaRabim itself, meaning below 10 Tfachim? If he argues above 10 Tfachim, why did they make the case below 10 Tfachim? They show you the power of the Rabbanan, that they say you're still patur, even below 10 Tfachim. And it also argues on Rav Chilkiya bar Tuvi. Here it's not clear when they say pliga, does pliga mean that he argues both on Rabbi Lazar and the explanation of Rav Amnuna? Or is he just arguing on Rabbi Lozer, Damar of Chilkiya bar Tuvi, Toch Shlosha Divrei Akol Chayav. Within three Tvachim of the ground, everybody says you're Chayav. Malami Asara, above 10 Tvachim, Divrei Akol Patur. Everybody agrees you're Patur. Migimel Va'ad Yud, from between 3 and 10 Tvachim, Banal Machloket Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan. There you have the Machloket between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan. So again, above Yud, he says you're Patur. So there he clearly argues on Rabbi Lozer, who just said above Yud, Rabbi Kiva says you are Chayav. Question of whether he argues of Rabbi Amnuna as well, there, the possibility is that Rav Amnuna said before that they argue below 10, but he does not distinguish between above 3 and below 3. So he might be arguing on him as well, because here he says you have to be above 3 Tfachim in order to have the machloka. Below 3, everybody agrees that you are Chayav. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a braita that supports this understanding, B'toch Kimel Diriya Kol Chayav. Under 3 Tfachim, when it's in motion, everybody thinks you're Chayav. Malim Yud, above 10 Tfachim, Enu Ela Mishum Shvot. It's only an Iser Dirabanan, Patur Aval Asur. And B'mayu Rishiyot Shelo, if they are his own Rishuyot, Mutar, then it's completely fine. meaning that if he's moving it from one Rishuta Yachid to another Rishuta Yachid, then that is completely okay. And the only problem is, or the Moed HaMachloket is Migimov Ad Asara. 3 until 10, that's where they have the Machloket. Rabbi Akiva Michayev, Vechachamim Potrim. Rabbi Akiva says Yachayav, and the Chamim say you are Patur. So that would support Rabbi Chilkiah's understanding of what the Machloket is over here. Alright, so the Gemara is going to discuss right now what the difference is with regards to Mitachat Shlosha. We did bump into this in the past with the Itzaba, with the threshold that is outside the house. It said there that if anything's under 3 Tfachim, it's considered to be Batel to the Rishuta Rabim. Until you move over 3 Tfachim, we consider it to be nullified to the Rishuta Rabim, and it's still classified as Rishuta Rabim. So only above 3 gets a din of Rishuta Rabim in terms of above 3 can lose the Shem Rishuta Rabim. Anything below 3 is automatically assumed to be part of the Rishuta Rabim. Now, there are two principles at work here. One principle why it's considered the Rishuta Rabim is because you can't assume that Rishuta Rabim is flat. It's not going to be absolutely flat or plain, which the Gemara is going to say in 1 second. And therefore, there's some ups and downs. The ups and downs, what is considered to be normal in terms of the ups and downs or something that people would step over or move through, that's up to 3 Tfachim, whether it's a depression or something that's sticking up the Rishuta Rabim, that's still considered to be part of the Rishuta Rabim. The second is the principle that is found throughout Shas, which is called Lavud. Anything within 3 Tfachim is considered as if it's closed, as if it is sealed up, and it's as if it's not there, the space that's there. So to over here, below 3 Tfachim, when the object's moving, it's considered as if it's touching the ground, because we are then 3 Tfachim of the ground, it means as if you've closed the space between the ground and you, and it's as if you've landed already on the ground. For instance, if something's thrown, that once it reaches within 3 Tfachim of the ground, it's already considered to be landed when you place something down. By throwing, that may not be the case. By throwing, you might have to come to a stop. So I might have to go stationary. But in terms of you place something down, once within 3 Tfachim in the ground, it's batel to the ground, or you lower your hand below 3 Tfachim, it's as if it's on the ground. So those two principles are at work here with regards to the Rishuta Rabim, why this 3 Tfachim is significant over here. Amar Mar, imayu Rishiot Shelo Mutar. They're his Rishiot, then it's Mutar. Lema Tavit Yuf to the Rav. Let us say this is a question, Rav. Ditmar, Shnei Batim, Bishnei Tidei Rishuta Rabim. You have two houses, one on each side of the Rishuta Rabim. Rabba Baruch Hana Marav, Surli Zrok Mizeh Lizeh, says you may not throw from your house on one side to the house on the other side. Shmuel Amar, Mutar Lizrok Mizeh Lizeh. Shmuel says you're allowed to throw it. So now, Rav, what are you going to do with this? If they're both your Rishiot, the Braita said that it is Mutar, throw it. Balav Miukimna Lahai, Kim Gon, Demidle Chad, O Mitate Chad. Didn't we already establish that that Machloku was a case where one of the houses was high and one of the houses was low? The zimden afil va'atileyetuye, because it's not an easy throw across. Since the houses are not level on both sides of the Rishuta Rabim, it's not just easy to throw it from one to the other. The assumption is that you probably will not make the throw, and since you won't make the throw, it's going to fall on the Rishuta Rabim. It falls on the Rishuta Rabim, you have to go out and get it, and you're going to bring it in. So that's what we're fearful of. Because that case where Rav and Shmuel argue is in a more unusual case, the Braita is talking about a simple case where the houses are level on both sides of Rishuta Rabim, that you can throw it from one to the other. Amar le Rav Chista le Rav Hamnuna, v'amri la Rav Hamnuna le Rav Chista. It's not clear who spoke to whom here. Minaha milta damar rabbanon. Where do we know this din that kol pachot migimol kelavudami? That anywhere it's under 3 Tvachim, it's considered as if it's closed. The space, as if it doesn't exist. Amar le, lefi shi efshar la le Rishuta Rabim, shitalakeit bilmalakeit uberitni. This is what I said to you before. It's impossible for the Rishuta Rabim to be plain with a plane or a shears or a tweezer. I mean, we don't expect them to flatten it out and make it absolutely flat. So if it's not going to be absolutely flat, you got to assume that there are ups and downs in the Rishuta Rabim. It's still considered Rishuta Rabim. So it's the Ihochi Gimel Nami. So if that's the case, then even 3 Tfachim itself. What do I mean below 3? Even 3 itself should be part of the Rishuta Rabim. That's number one. But two, Hadatnan, what are you going to do with this Mishnah that we have in Sukkah, which is HaMishal Shel Dfanot Milamalo Lamato? If you are pulling down a mechitza from the top downward, the mechitzot don't reach within 3 tefachim of the ground, then the mechitza is not considered to be a wall of the sukkah. If you're within 3 tefachim in the ground, it's ksheira. So here you see we're applying the principle of lavud, and it has nothing to do with planing or saying that the Rishuta Rabim should be flat. It has to do with straightforward mechitza, where it says, wait a minute, the reason over there is that the mechitza has to be a proper wall. How do you know it's a proper wall? It's a question whether a goat can get under it or not, whether a kid could slip under it. If a kid can slip under it, it's not a mechitza, because that means that it's open, really, because the kids can slip under it, come in and out of there, and you don't have a proper mechitza. Below 3 tefachim, the assumption is that the kid could not slip underneath, and that's why it becomes a proper mechitza. So maybe it has nothing to do with lavud, it simply has to do with determination of whether this is a mechitza based on the ability of a kid to slip under or not. So Mara says, okay, tinach lamato, that works well for that part of the Mishnah, but the malo ma'ika lemeimar. We also have the same principle in the other direction, which is that if you're within three tefachim of the schach, the wall is considered to be connected to the schach. It's as if it reached the schach. So what are you going to say there? Ela kol pachot mishlosha kelavu dami hilchota gemir lo. Anything that's under three tefachim is considered as if it's not there, as if it's sealed or touching. That is halacha leMoshe miSinai. That is something that's passed down in the Misora. It's not something that we can learn either from the Mishnayot or from some logical argument. It's simply a din that we have through the Misora. And all these Mishnayot, or these areas, are applying it to these different halachot. But not that we learn it out or we have any logical argument for it. Tan Rabbanan. Rishut Rabim, l'Rishut Rabim, v'Rishut Yachid be'emtza. Now this is the opposite case. Our case in the Mishnah is a case where you're going from a private domain to a private domain with the public domain in the middle. Here you have the opposite. You're going from a Rishut Rabim to a Rishut Rabim. Public domain, and there's a private domain in the middle. Rishut Yachid be'emtza. Rebbe Michayev v'chachamim putrim. Rebbe says, Yechayav, mim putrim. Rav Shmuel Damrei Tavayo, lo chiyev Rebbe, ela b'Rishut Yachid mikure. The only time that we say this is true is when you have a roofed private domain. Damrinam beta k'man d'mal yodam. We look as if the house is filled in. Al she'enu mikure, lo. But if the Rishut Yachid is not covered, then we do not say this. Now, what does it mean, command the malidami? Rashi over here says, mitokshu choshech umalei havla. Because it's dark in there. When you have the roof over it, it's dark. And malei havla, its quality of the air is that it's heavy. It's not so easy to breathe in there. So therefore, it becomes as if the area is a solid block instead of being empty space. That's the way Rashi quotes it over here. We also had this back in the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Hey and Aleph, where there Rashi gave a slightly different definition to the Malei Beita. Over there Rashi says, Davar Satumi Goldsad Havik Malei Chafatzim Agagot. It's as if it's filled with objects until it's roof. Dein Aviro Chashiv Avir. Because its space is not considered to be space. So now Rashi says over there that Kamanda Malei Dami means that it's Satum. It's completely closed, which you'd have to see over here as well. That the Rishut HaYachid that's covered here has a roof over it. Rashi says it's dark. Seems like there's walls around it as well. I mean, that's how it is, a Rishut HaYachid, is that it has walls around it. And it's not easily accessible. There's not a lot of windows there. So therefore, it's dark. And the air quality is still and heavy. And it looks as if it's filled up, literally filled up. And that's why it's considered, if you throw something through there, as if it stopped in the Rishut HaYachid on its way to the other Rishut HaRabim. So Amar Rav Chana, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Michayev haya Rebbe Shtayim. Rebbe says you're not only Chayev once, you're Chayev twice. Achad Mishum Hotza'ah, from the first Rishut HaRabim into the Rishut HaYachid, Achad Mishum Achnazah. And the second one is Chayev for leaving the Rishut HaYachid and going into the Rishut HaRabim. Yativ Rav Chana v'kakashale. Chana was sitting there and said, wait a minute, the Memra, the Michayev Rebbe al Tolda b'makom Av. That means that Rebbe believes you can be chayav for a tolda in the face of the av, the primary melacha. What's the primary melacha of this category? It's hotza'ah. Hotza'ah is the av. We said before in yesterday's daf that hachnasa is a tolada, that it's a derivative of the hotza'ah. We said it was a logical argument that it was a derivative, but it's a derivative. V'atanya Rebbe Omer. Don't we have a bright where Rebbe says, varim, hadvarim, ela hadvarim. We learned this again earlier in the Masechta, that from this pasuk they darshan that there are 39 milachot on Shabbat. Remember, we had three sources so far in the Masechta for 39 milachot. One was the juxtaposition of Shabbat to the Mishkan. That was how we learned the 39 milachot. The other one was that the word milacha is used in the Torah 39 times. And the last one was this pasuk that we brought, which is, it says here, Ela. Ela is 36 in Gematria. Then it says Hadvarim. Dvarim is plural, means two, so that gets you to 38. Ha, the hey gets you to 39 milachot. So Ela Dvarim, which is written in the Gabei Shabbat, is the source for the 39 Melachot, Shneimar leMoshe miSinai. We're passed down from Moshe miSinai, because over here, again, you know 39 from this number. What you don't know over here is, which are the 39? You have to have some connection to the Mishkan, or some definition of what the 39 Melachot are. So either it's connected to the Mishkan, or you say that's the Misora. The Misora is that we have the 39 Melachot, and that these are given to us by Moshe miSinai. So Amalei Rav Yosef, Mar aha matnidla. You learned that qualification of Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel was on the statement of Rabbi, and therefore, Vakashale, the Rebbe of the Rebbe. And therefore, you run into a problem of a stira within Rabbi. On the other hand, Ana, ad Rabbi Yehuda, Matninan, Velo Kashlan. We learned this on the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, we don't have a problem. Titania, we have a braita. Mirshuta Yachid, the Rishuta Rabim, Vavar Arba Mot, Rishuta Rabim. An object that he moves from the Rishuta Yachid to the Rishuta Rabim, which is Hotza'ah, But in addition to that, they moved four amot in the Rishut HaRabim. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev, V'chachamim Potrim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yechayav, V'chachamim say, you're Potur. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. On this is where we have the modification, which is, Mechayev Hayah, Rabbi Yehuda, Shtayim. You said it on Rabbi before. When Rabbi said he's Chayav, he says Chayav Shtayim. We use this to modify the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmo to modify Rabbi Yehuda's position in this braita, not like you did about Rabbi. And over there we said, you're chayav shtayim. Achat mishum otza. 1 4 going out from the Rishut Yechid to Rishut Rabim. Achat mishum havara. And 1 4 going for amot, for carrying four amot in the Rishut Rabim itself. Dis akadat rachadahu de mechayev. If you think that Rabbi Yehuda over here believes you only chayav one, michlal de rabbanan patre de gamre. That means that the Rabbanan think you're patur completely. How could that be? Halafik, lam yishut yachid yishut rabim. Come and have to agree you at least took it out from the private domain into the public domain. He did something wrong. Rabbi says, mimai. How do you know that's true? Dilma, lo olam eim alacha Rabbi Yehuda chadahud mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda says you only chayev once. Rabbanan patre the gamre. The Rabbanan say you're patur the gamre. Dehecha mishkachala. So what's the scenario? Go, damar, ad anafkalei the rishut rabim, tanua. That as soon as it exits the rishut rabim, I want it to come to rest. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Amina Kluta Gamash Runcha. Rabbi Yehuda believes that when you're in motion, it's as if you settle in every discrete point along the way. And therefore, what he intended came true. He wanted to move it from the Rishut Yechid to the Rishut Rabim and have it land right as it exits into the Rishut Rabim. Well, it's in the air when it exits into the Rishut Rabim. So if you believe Kluta Gamash Runcha Damya, then what he thought came true. Because at the moment it exited into the Rishut Rabim, that's a discrete point. And it's as if it's settled there, and that's why you're chayav according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbanan Savei Lo Amrin Kluta Gamash Runcha. The Rabbanan believe we don't say that. That means that when it finally lands, it comes to rest, that's much further out. And then what you intended to happen did not happen, and that's why the Chachamim say you're a patur over here. Rabbi Yehuda would not be mechayev a tolada in the face of the av, because if you think he's chayav shtayim, then you would say that a tolada is chayev a makom av, because the av is the hotza'ah, taking it from shuta yachid to shuta rabim, and the tolada would be Mavir Dalad Amot Bir Shuta Rabim. Says that would be a Tolada. If you say Rabbi Yehuda is Mechayev Shtayim, that means that he's Mechayev Tolada in the face of the Av. Where it says you don't have to say that. You could say that Rabbi Yehuda believes you only Chayev one here. The Chachamim think you're Patur, and the case is where he had intent for where he wanted to land. And according to one of them, the intent is carried out. According to the other, it's not carried out. And they're arguing the same thing that Rabbah tried to suggest in the Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva is an object in motion, whether it's considered to be settled along the way or only once it comes to a stop. Or standstill, is it considered to be settled? The Gemara says, lo salka datko. Can't say that. Can't say that Rabbi Yehuda does not believe that a tolada is chayav makamav. The Tanya. We have a brighter. Rabbi Yehuda mosif. Rabbi Yehuda adds on additional avot lachot that we saw earlier in the Masechta back in Klal Gadol. Af hashovet vamiddakdik. So the two other melachot that he adds on are shovet and middakdik. Shovet is the closing of the web, and middakdik is the evening out of the woof. Amru lo, they responded to him that shovet, harihu b'chlam mesach, that shovet, the closing of the web, is the equivalent of mesach, which is laying out the loom, and vamiddakdik, harihu b'chlal oreg. And the evening air of the wolf is part of the weaving. So just to understand this in more detail, when they laid out the loom, they used to stretch out the strings, which are called the warp, across the loom. Those strings were laid out and then tied around the two ends or bars of the loom. That was to create the base of the loom. Alternatingly, one string was up, one string was down. They used wooden bars and batei nirim to lift them up and down. And then the woof or the shuttle was sent through that to create the weave. By having the strings go up and down, when you threw the shuttle through, it was the equivalent of weaving up and down through the loom. Now, in order to straighten out those strings that they strung across the loom or the warp, they used to use a karkar, which is a very sharply pointed instrument to help them to separate out the strings. They actually used to beat it first. They used to hit it down first, and that would separate the string. Then they used to finally take this sharp object and make sure that the strings were separated along the loom. After they had woven in the ariga, they used to take a stick and bang down the string to tighten the weave. So that's why here the Gemara says that the shovet, which is separating the strings that are put onto the loom, is part of Mesach. Mesach is the setup of the loom with the strings of the warp. Ariga is then the placement of the string of the woof through those strings of the warp, and that is called weaving. So the shuvait, according to the Chachamim, is an extension of placing the strings on the loom. Because what you're doing is you're evening out the strings. You bang them and you use the sharp instrument and you separate the strings out. And that's what Rashi says, mekarker bekarkar. The medakdek is you take a staff and you push down the strings that have been arug, that have been woven, and you bang them down. So that's why the Chachamim say these are subsets of the broader category of mesach, setting up the loom, and oreg of weaving. Whereas the Yehuda views them as separate avot melachot. I'll send you a picture so you can see a little bit about what I'm speaking about. Amrulo, they responded to him that Shuvet say that that's equivalent to Mesach and Medakdek, Arei Buklal Oreg. And Medakdek, the evening out of the roof, is part of Arigah, part of weaving. So I mean, these are subcategories of Av Melachot that are already mentioned in the Mishnah. So they're not considered to be separate Melachot. So Rabbi Yehuda believes that they are separate Avot Melachot, whereas the Chachamim believe that they're subsets of Melachot that already exist in the Mishnah. They're toladot, exactly, according to the Chachamim. So my love, davdinu l'tavayu ba'dei adodi, sounds like you did both of them at the same time. Ushma mina mechayev ayir Rabbi Yehuda tolada b'mokom av. And Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev the tolada in the face of the av. And that's what their argument's about. They both agree that these are toladot. They're just arguing about whether if you do both of them, the tolada and the av, whether you're mechayev two or one. Where it says, mimai. Maybe you did each one independent. And Rabbi Huda would not say that a toledah in the face of an av is chayav. And this is what they argue about. Rabbi Huda savar hanei avot ninu. Rabbi Huda thinks that these additional items are avot. Rabbanan savre hanei toledot ninu. That these are toledot. Teda. It makes sense from the statement that he made, Diktani, because in that statement it says, Rabbi Huda mosif. He adds on. Iamart bishlama avot. If you say that he's adding on additional avot, then my mosif, what's he adding on? Mosif avot. He's adding on additional avot melachot, primary categories. Eli amar toladot. If you think he's adding on toladot, my mosif. What is he adding on? He's not adding on. Toladot are not adding on because there you have avot. You have a list of avot. And toladot are subcategories. You can endlessly add toladot. That's not called mosif. That's a part of what it means to be an av, is that you have toladot under you. So when you use the term mosif, it sounds like there's an addition of avot, of more primary melachot. So it my nami, Rabbi Rav Yosef Tamrei Tavayu, lo chayev Rabbi Yehuda ela achat. Rabbi Yehuda was only mechayev one, which is the conclusion we came to here. Amalei Ravina the Ravashi, well my the salika datin, that what we thought up front, miikara the mechayev ayir Rabbi Yehuda shtayim, the Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev shtayim, ilahocha kabayla, the hacha lo kabayla, ilahocha kabayla, the hacha lo kabayla. Says, I don't understand. In the first place, when we thought Rabbi Yehuda was mechayev shtayim, how did that work? He throws it from the Rishut Yachid into the Rishut Rabim, and then it moves four amot in the Rishut Rabim. So where does he want the object to land? If he wants the object to land where he threw it, and it lands in the Rishut Rabim, then he should be chayev then, and when it rolls another four amot, it moves another four amot in the Rishut Rabim, he should be patur, because that's not what he wanted to happen to the object. On the other hand, if you wanted the object to get to where it rolled to, then he should be chayav for moving it for amot in Rishut Rabim, but not for throwing or moving it from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim. Because when it landed in Rishut Rabim, it wasn't where he wanted it to land. He wanted it to continue on. So he can only have accomplished his thought or his intent in one of the two options. So how could you ever say that Rabbi Yehuda believes you're chayav shtayim when you move an object from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim and then it moves in Rishut Rabim? Either when the object landed or when it came to a standstill, one of those two places is where he wanted it. And he only have his intent carried out in one of those two options. He can't have his intent carried out in both options. The Gemara says, Amalei ba'omer kol makom shetirtzeh tanuach. He says, wherever it goes, that's where I want it. So in that case, he's indifferent between the two locations. And so he will be culpable, because both where it landed is considered to be hotza'ah, because he was comfortable with that. And as well, the fact that it moved for amot and rishut derabim, he's also comfortable with that, because he doesn't mind where it lands. Since he doesn't mind where it lands, he could be culpable or held culpable for both locations. Pshita, it's Kavin Lizrok Shmona, Vizorak Arba. If he intended to throw 8 amot, and he ended up going 4 amot, Hare Katav Shem Mishimon. It's as if he did the Malacha. When you write, you intend to write the name Shimon, and you only get through Shem. You get through Shin Mem, which is also a name, and it's 2 otiot. There you're Chayav, because you wrote with the intention of writing a bigger word, but once you reached the second letter and you stopped, you wrote a word as well. Therefore, you're chayav when you write Shem Mishimon. It's Kavin Lizrok Arba Vizorak Shmona. On the other hand, if you intended to throw it 4 amot, and it ends up going 8 amot, mao, what's the din there? Mi arminan ha'afikle? Do we say that he intended for it to go out, and it went out? Or do we say, no, he wanted to land at the 4 amot point, and that didn't happen? Lav hainu da amale Ravina the Ravashi. Isn't this what Ravina said to Ravashi? We just said in our Gemara, that wherever it lands, I'm comfortable with. So that's number one. So that's how we answer the problem. If he says, wherever I'm comfortable with, then of course, his makshava is carried out, his intent is carried out. But what you said before, I don't think you're right about that. Because hotam kama deloktiv shem lo michtiv le shimon. In order to write shimon, you must write shame. You can't get to shimon without writing shame. Halcha kama delo zarek arba lo mizdrakei tamne. But you have to say here, if he didn't throw it 4 amot, he can't get to 8 amot. You don't have to throw it 4 amot to get to 8 amot. Now the truth is, it has to pass through 4 amot to get to 8 amot. But what it means is, when you throw an object, it doesn't have to land at the 4 amot point in order for it to get to the 8 amot point. It can be the one motion that goes from the beginning to the end of the 8 amot. You don't have to pass through, quote-unquote, 4 amot. You don't have to have it land at the 4 amot point, bounce, and then go to the 8 amot point. You can have it go straight from 0 to 8. If that's the case, it's not similar to the case of Shem Mishimon. By Shem Mishimon, the only way to get to Shimon is to write Shem. And therefore, that's why it's considered to be the Malacha on the way. So it says, I think your comparison is incorrect, and you cannot automatically assume, if he intended for 8 and he threw 4, that you are Chayav. The only way, if he intended to throw 8 and he threw 4, that he's Chayav, is in the same case, the same scenario, where if he intended to throw 4 and he threw 8, that he's chayav, and that's when he says, I don't care where it lands. I'm indifferent to where it lands. In those cases, then his makshav is carried out, because he's indifferent to where it lands. But if he has particular intent for where it lands, and it changes, and it doesn't land there, it goes to the other place, in both those cases, it's going to be patur, because they are not components of the same melacha. It's two different melachot. One is to throw it 4 amot, one is to throw it 8 amot, and they're totally separate from each other. That's what I was differentiating. You're right. You have to pass over 4 amot to get to 8 amot, but you don't have to land at 4 amot point. I mean, that in order to move it 4 amot, that means you picked it up or you threw it from 0 to 4, and then from 4 to 8. That's not what happens. You could throw it one from 0 to 8 straight without ever stopping at the 4 amot point. And that's the Gemara's differentiation over here. Shame Shimon, you can't get to Shimon without writing shame. You have to have the two letters. Assuming that you're moving in the normal right-to-left direction, right? You have to pass through shame. There's a better question here, which we'll get to later in the Masechta, which is, you write shame Shimon. Shimon is with a mem pshuta, and shame is with a mem stuma. So there is a difference between them, and it's not so simple. So that we have to deal with later on in the Masechta when the Gemara deals with it. The Gemara has a number of these, and it doesn't seem to differentiate between the stuma and the pshuta. We'll deal with that later in the Masechta. That is a problem here with Shem Shimon. But on the other hand, you have to write Shin Mem to get to Shimon. You don't have to throw 4 amot. You're right. You have to pass through the 4 amot point to get there, but it doesn't have to stop the 4 amot point to get there. So that's why there's a differentiation between these two different cases. Tana Banan. Zarek Mishut Rabim, Mishut Rabim, Mishut Achid Be'emtza. You throw from a public domain to a public domain, and you have a shuta yachid in the middle. Dalar amot chayav, pachot mi arba amot patur. If you move it 4 amot, you are chayav. If it's less than 4 amot, you are patur. So my kamashlan, what's going on right here? Akamashlan de rishiot mitstarfot. It says you had a public domain on one side and a public domain on the other side. Therefore, we can add together the movement that you had in those two public domains. And you could say that he moved it 4 amot. If you add them together and you get 4 amot, you're going to be chayav. If you mavir v'shut rabim 4 amot. Udlo amrinan. And the second thing that's obvious from here is we don't say putag mashuncha, that we don't say that an object in motion is considered to be moving through discrete points, because otherwise you'd also be chayav for hotza'ah and hachnasa, because you're passing through a v'shut yachid in the emtza. The fact that this breita says, number one, we don't care about the v'shut yachid here, shows you that they think that the object that moved from one v'shut rabim to another v'shut rabim is not stopped in the v'shut yachid. Which means they see an object in motion as a continuum, not as discrete points. Number two is that they're willing to add together the two Rishut Rabims. Rishut Rabim from where you threw it, and the Rishut Rabim where it lands, you add those together to get to the 4 Amot. And we see from that that you can have two separate Rishiyot add together to come up with the Dalet Amot. Okay, we'll stop over here.